One of the amazing aspects of walking with God is how he links his ministry activities to each other, just like links in a chain. This requires you to be very sensitive to his will, or you might miss a link and break the chain of ministries in which he has invited you to participate. This podcast is an illustration of this fact. It involves the cholera epidemic in Peru, and then what resulted from that in other countries. This chapter is an illustration of this fact. It starts with a ham radio call from a missionary in Peru and leads to a ministry in the mountains of Iran eventually. The Texas Baptist Men staff was gathered in our conference room having lunch when the telephone rang. Being the closest to it, I answered it, and the call was from a member of the Texas Baptist Men's Communications Committee. That's our group of ham radio operators. He was helping they usually help in disaster relief and other projects. He was a contractor who was talking to a missionary in Peru on the portable radio in his car. He told us to get on the air with our TBM ham station and monitor his contact. A missionary in Cajamarca, Peru, was describing the terrible cholera epidemic in his area. People were dying before they could get to the clinic. They were running out of medicine. The people were in a state of panic, fearing infection. The frantic call of another missionary's wife to her father broke my heart. She was asking for prayer that her children would be spared in this epidemic. It really broke all our hearts. Well, Bob Dixon, my boss, called us to prayer immediately. After our prayer time, Bob looked at me and said, "Johnny, what do you think? Is this God's invitation for us to join him in his work?" I replied, "Bob, we have no budget for this. I cannot even spell the names of the medications they were requesting. I have no idea of where to find the medicine or how to get them to a place in Peru that I've never seen on a map." The call came to us from a guy playing with his portable ham radio on his lunch break. There are a lot of relief agencies who could handle this better than we can. Bob, only God would pull a stunt like this to see if we were really willing to get out of our boat and walk on the water with him in faith. Bob, this is for us. We better get after it. Well, since my stepbrother was with Upjohn of the pharmaceutical company, I volunteered to start calling drug companies, but Bob told me to wait while he made a call to our human welfare department. This department relates to all of the Baptist hospitals in Texas, and he felt the various hospital administrators could help through their vendors. So he called, and the secretary said that the director was not in. When Bob asked where he was, she said, "Well, he's on the first floor in a conference room with all of the administrators of the Texas Baptist hospitals." Bob, being a bird hunter, covered the phone with his hand and said, "Johnny, I have them all in a covey." Bob interrupted their meeting, explained the situation, and asked for their help. Man, did they ever help. In a few days, we had 450,000 pounds of medicine and IV fluids. Trying to move it to Peru was the next problem. There were no funds for transportation. I began calling the airlines that flew to Peru. Because of the emergency, some would transport 100 to 600 pounds without charging us for freight. But I needed to transport 450,000 pounds. At that rate, it would take months for the transport to work. In another radio call, the missionary was informed of the problem. Well, he calculated the Peruvian production of medicine fluid, and he projected the needs per day, and he helped us develop an alternate plan. If we could ship 150,000 pounds by air, it would hold the situation in check until the rest of it came by sea freight. I remember that the military had some assignment to respond to disasters, so I called the Pentagon. I was bounced around from person to person until I was in the right department. A sharp, commanding voice asked, "Who are you and what do you want? Go." My reply was, "I'm Dr. John Lemieux with Texas Baptist Men. We're trying to get medicine to Peru to help fight cholera." He said, "We cannot help you." This was followed by what sounded like a chuckle as he hung up. My feeling was that I had annoyed the person with my ridiculous request. I continued to pray. I seem to pray best when I'm out of options and my feet are in the fire. Well, my phone started to ring as I prayed, and it was one of our men from Longview, Texas, Dr. Kenneth Dupuy. Ken had been deputy director of the budget in the Nixon White House. He asked, "What are we doing to meet the needs in Peru?" I explained everything to him and told him about my logistical problem. He told me to call the Pentagon. When I told him that I had, he asked about their response. I said they laughed and hung up. Ken's voice changed to a low, strong, authoritative tone. "Get a pencil and paper. Write down every word I say and do not change it or modify it in any way." As I wrote, he said, "Dear George, you and I worked together so well in the past, especially on the energy crisis of 1973. I know your heart and that you are a great humanitarian. You have an opportunity to be a tremendous help to the cholera victims in Peru. Our group, Texas Baptist Men, has collected thousands of pounds of medicine. We need the U.S. military to transport it to Peru. If you can help us, contact Dr. John Lemieux at Texas Baptist Men. Phone number 214-828-5354. Thank you. Sincerely, Ken." He followed this with a fax number. I asked, "Well, this is going to George who?" He snapped back, "George Bush, the president." "Ooh." He said, "Use that fax number once and destroy it. Never use it again. It's the fax in the Oval Office." "Well, should I put your last name on the fax?" I asked. Ken said, "You don't need to." The next morning, the Pentagon called me, asking where I needed the plane to pick up the cargo. When I told them San Antonio, they said they would make several stops to pick up additional cargo from other groups before coming to San Antonio. I told them we had 150,000 pounds of cargo in San Antonio. They replied, "You cannot have that much. We've investigated you. You're a small organization, and there's no way you could have that much medicine. Don't you lie to me." I replied, "Sir, we have 450,000 pounds, and I'm only shipping 150,000 pounds with you. I'm sending 300,000 pounds by ocean freight. You better pick up our load first." He told me that if I was lying, I'd be in a lot of trouble. Well, he called me several days later and shouted into the phone, "You lied to me. You had 175,000 pounds, not 150. We had to refuel in flight." I apologized and said, "I'm sorry, sir. Peru asked for chlorine to purify the water, and I bought 25,000 pounds of it. Forgot to tell you." He was so impressed that it led to another story. But I must tell you how God was glorified in this ministry. First, I think the Pentagon was impressed with what a few religious people could do when people were hurting. This was evident from their request to us later when they had a need. Secondly, their response in Peru was overwhelming. They did not have machinery to offload the K-pallet, which are large pallets. So everything had to be unloaded by manpower. Their military turned out to do it. The crowd of workers and the mountain of supplies made national TV in Peru. It made radio programs and magazine and newspaper coverage. The missionaries were astounded as everyone responded to the aid from Las Bautistas. This set the cause of Christ way ahead and validated the work of our missionaries there. In December of that year, Texas Baptist Men had a visit from the president of Peru. He thanked us for our help to his country and told Texas Baptist Men had done more to help Peru than all of the other aid agencies put together. He told us of the surplus they were able to share with Ecuador when the epidemic crossed the border into that country. Well, we knew of the Ecuadorian problem because we had put clinic building crews into that country to help with the cholera epidemic there. However, we did not know about the gift of medicine being shared. All of this occurred at the end of Desert Storm. The lack of U.S. casualties was the reason for the large stock of medicine and IV fluids being available. The manufacturers had geared up to produce for war. And it didn't come. Just as our Peruvian project ended, Saddam Hussein turned his battle with the United Nations coalition and began attacking the Kurds in northern Iraq. The Kurds saw the UN forces had stopped advancing and would not depose Saddam, so they attacked from the north. You see, before the partitioning of that area by the British, it was Kurdistan, and sections of Kurdistan were given to Syria, Turkey, Iraq, and Iran. And the slaughter of Kurds was everywhere in the news. Poison gas, strafing, fleeing crowds, poisoning streams so they couldn't get water to drink. And many atrocities were being committed against them. They were fleeing to the mountains in rain and snow. The old and the sick people were dying from exposure. The Kurds in Dallas were picketing in downtown with signs carrying pictures of their people's plight and chanting, "Christian America, how can you let these things happen and do nothing? Where is your Bible? Don't you believe it? Help our people." Well, folks, we had no idea of what to do next, but God did. And that will be the second ministry that came out of this Peruvian ministry in the beginning. God bless you.